In the name of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, my fellow unlikely servants of the Lord, pilgrims on the way to the promised land, you heard the word of the Lord, Exodus 3, 1-15. I'll refer to it as we hear the sermon this morning, this meditation. But for now, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, merciful and gracious, you choose the most unlikely ministers to serve you. You've chosen us too, purely out of your grace and mercy. Bless our hearts, strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and enable us to do what you call us to do. In your great name, amen. A couple weeks ago, it was my privilege with my better half to attend the graduation and call day of a son of the congregation, Matthew Zhang, the first from our congregation that got to make it all the way through the seminary and has now been assigned to Trinity, Neenah, Wisconsin, as an associate pastor. President Treptow at the seminary told a story to introduce his sermon about a time when he was a district president, I believe that was out in Colorado, and he had to set up the call meetings, as they're having to do quite a bit now, with a smaller and smaller group of pastors to call from. I think the vacancies are at about 140 or something, which they should be 40 or 50. But anyway, the Lord is in charge of his church. And back then, he did as we do, the district presidents for the congregation will read a list of candidates and talk about their strengths, and then let the congregation vote. In this particular instance, he said he heard a question that he didn't really understand at first, and he'd never heard before or since. After going through the list, one of the men said, "Okay, let's just cut right through it now. Just tell us, in this list of candidates, who's the rock star?" And Pastor Treptow said, he's trying to figure out, you know, rock star, are these guys that are going to smash guitars on the stage and be dancing around in the music, or what is it, you know? Finally, he realizes, well, that's not really the man's question. So he goes back through the list again and then said, these are all qualified candidates with gifts that God has given to them to serve the needs of this congregation. And furthermore, the Apostle Paul is no longer with us. Because when he asked the man, what do you mean by a rock star, just to kind of figure out the question, the man says, well, he needs to be young, needs to have a family, either he or his wife should play organ. There should also be a great ability to meet the community and to work with the youth and preach great sermons and lead this congregation to the next level. Oh, yeah. District presidents often have to tell congregations that Paul is no longer with us. In fact, it's just not the Lord's way. We're looking at a most unlikely minister. In fact, three of them in the readings today. This is the Lord's way, and Moses had to learn this firsthand, as all of us do. Not just those called to the public ministry, but wherever the Lord calls you to serve in your life as witnesses of the great King. So we take comfort from the fact that we are called by boundless mercy. So let's say you're the district president and you have to put together a call list for a congregation. Would you, at any time on any planet, put a name on that call list that you knew to be a murdering fugitive from justice? Or would you choose a flaming persecutor of Christians who was hell-bent to arrest men, women, and children and at least imprison them, if not see them die, for the religion of an imposter, as you thought? Or might you choose for your call list A man who used legal extortion to take as much tax money as he wanted, and if anybody argued, just use the conquering soldiers to just back up your claims. Some of you know. This is just describing Matthew the tax collector, because that's how they collected taxes, right? The publicans, the tax collectors, determined how much they wanted, and as long as Rome got its cut, you don't argue. There's the soldiers. And Paul, back when his name was Saul of Tarsus, he said to Timothy, worst of sinners, he wasn't kidding. And Moses, you remember why he was out there in the desert and how long? How old is he by this time? Moses' life can go into thirds. And the first third, if you remember, started when he was supposed to be killed as a slave child, and Pharaoh's daughter had him drawn out of the water, so gave him that name, Moses, drawn out. But he was raised in the court of Pharaoh as an Egyptian prince. But it was his mother who was his wet nurse, because Pharaoh's daughter said to this little Jewish girl there who just happened to be watching and asked, can I get a Jewish mom to nurse the baby for you? Yes. And so she gets the baby's mom, who happened to be her mother too. That's Miriam, right? Oh, the Lord. The Lord's sense of humor. And the mother taught her son about the true God. And when Moses grew up, he didn't want to relate to that Egyptian Pharaoh and all that court. He wanted to side with the Israelites, but you know what he did? He saw an Egyptian beating a Jewish slave, and he killed the Egyptian and then had to run for his life. That's when he was 40 years ago. Now he's 80. He's out there in the desert doing just fine. Married one of the daughters of Jethro, priest of Midian, worshiper of the Lord Most High. They weren't all Hebrews that worshiped God. Same faith as we're saved by. And he really did not want to be told to leave his comfort zone. Who does? But then he saw something over there. That bush is on fire on the side of the hill. The mountain of the Lord, Horeb. 10 commandments would eventually be given there, right? How is that bush burning but not burning up? So he goes over to take a look. Do you think he would have been as curious if he would have remembered that our God is a consuming fire? Do you think some of the curiosity about religion and the open rebellion and mockery of the God of the Bible would end quickly if people just realized you don't just die and go out of existence? You either go to be with the Lord God in the bliss of heaven, or you go to the torment of hell, and there's no in between. And our God is a consuming fire. Moses was a murderer. And the God of the Bible says in the last book of the Bible that there's a place for murderers and perjurers and slanderers and adulterers. Pretty long list that pretty much covers every sinner. The fiery lake of burning sulfur. And Moses goes out to check out the fire. No surprise then that the Lord in his holiness says, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. Because this is the Lord who would eventually say, as he promised, when you lead the people to this mountain out of Egypt, I will appear to you and you will worship on this mountain. The Lord who there said, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And in case anybody missed the point, God's Son, the Messiah, said in the New Testament, his Sermon on the Mount, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We don't get another life to try to get this right. Reincarnations or 10,000 years, as the Mormons like to teach. It says, be perfect, not become. And the Holy Spirit says in the letter to the Hebrews, without holiness, no one will see God. You need that holiness now. So do I. And so did Moses. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Old Testament angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ, second person of the Trinity. He talks like God, acts like God, was worshipped as God in the Old Testament times. That angel of the Lord appears in blazing fire. Moses goes over to see it. And the Lord said, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. On his face. That's what Moses had to do because he was afraid to look at God. Israel was 400 years in Egypt, and much of that was this cruel slavery that just kept getting worse and worse. And they may have felt that God had abandoned them. What does it take in your life or mine to feel like God has forgotten you? Does not God not hear my prayers? Is he not listening? You know, we feel that way sometimes. Well, so did they. And now the Lord is saying, I have been paying attention. I'm hearing their misery, and I'm seeing what those Egyptian slave masters are doing to the slaves of Israel. So I'm coming down, and I've got something set for you, Moses. You're going to go to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, bees buzzing, animals breeding, a wonderful place to come and enjoy the prosperity of your Lord. What you need to do first is go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Wow. Can you see the boundless mercy here? Boundless mercy to even come to Moses, fugitive murderer. Boundless mercy to call a flaming persecutor like Paul to be the missionary to us Gentiles. We're here worshiping the true God because of God's ministry through Paul. And Matthew the tax collector, what a great person to just remember when you're just feeling unworthy, like you have no place with God and don't deserve to come into his presence, because he comes to us in his holiness and kindness, but it's boundless mercy. It helps us not to run away and try to hide behind the bushes like Adam and Eve in the garden. Boundless mercy that calls. Most unlikely ministers, one and all. Moses had an enemy that was far worse than Pharaoh. Even though Pharaoh is one of the most powerful men in the world, superpower army of the ancient world, that's not Moses' real problem. He asks a question here that makes sense, especially from an earthly standpoint. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? My classmates and I were asking that when we were in college and they were trying to train us to be pastors. Who am I? You ask that question even more. That was Paul Wendland's sermon on call day. He told how he felt like he knew everything he needed to know when he was called so many years ago because he was going to Africa where he had been raised, and he knew what happened in Africa, and his whole sermon was about, I really didn't know anything, though I thought I did. And it's so true for pastor trainees that you get through what ends up being 12 years of, you know, high school, college, and seminary in our system, and you realize as you're going out, I don't feel like I know anything. I've got so much to learn. Who's the rock star? Sure not me. But there was a question in college that the dean of men kept asking. I'll confess it irritated me because I couldn't answer it. If not you, who? I tried for a year in the cabinet shop to answer that question some other way. If not you, who? I told in Bible class about praying for a sign. if God wanted to give me a sign, because you're not supposed to ask for signs, and he didn't. But the pastor's sermon, not even thinking about me, talking about the talents that God gives, if you don't use them, you lose them. And there just weren't people that would let me witness to them when I was working with the 5-man crew in a cabinet shop. It just wasn't happening. So, the last thing in the world I wanted to do was what I treasure most now. Matthew Zhang was given a report, I think in 8th grade at Christ Lutheran in North St. Paul, at the school there, to interview his pastor. And I hadn't thought about the question in so long, why did you want to be a pastor? Honestly, I had so many questions. By staying in the pastor track and learning the Greek and Hebrew and being able to ask these professors my questions, it was just this hungry soul that needed to be fed. And still does. It's why I love this work more than anything, and love a congregation that would support my addiction to God's Word and want to study it and make it difficult sometimes to keep up in a good way. Because we are unlikely ministers all, and you too. When you feel that inadequacy, remember, it's God's boundless mercy that called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light, and you, like Paul and Matthew and Moses and all, will be powered by present grace, ever-present grace. So he said, I will certainly be with you. Who is God with us? The children can answer that, right? Who is God with us? Christmas, Emmanuel? God with us? This will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. Moses, you got a job to do. But Moses said, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I say to them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Yeah. Asher Ehyeh. Tell them the Lord sent me to you. Now, if some of you were a little bothered as I was reading the translation and wondering here, it's the Old Testament, should the Lord be capitalized in each case in this reading? The answer is yes. I didn't catch that in the editing. When we cut and paste into our worship folders, it seems to, the computers just don't get it, all right? They're not real bright. They don't understand that Hebrew. That word Yahweh, sometimes with other vowels, it's pronounced Jehovah, even though the Israelites never said that, and they won't say the name Yahweh. But that literally means the one who exists. The Lord was about to slap Pharaoh all over the place in 10 plagues because Pharaoh claimed to be a god, controlling the Nile, beating down his enemies. And the Lord says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? And the whole world is going to hear of the impotence of this Pharaoh whose images will soon be buried in the sand. And you know that when Emmanuel came, it was as a baby, born to an unwed mother, engaged to a carpenter. Oh, that's why we have the first half of the church year and get to look back at it in the second half. Because this is boundless grace from the great I am. I am who I am. God told Moses, say this to the Israelites, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered from generation to generation. What is the power that you have? What is it that draws you to come into the presence of holy God together with other sinners, knowing yours worse than anyone else's? Because you know, if you think you are a rock star, you're in big trouble. If you recognize you're not, then you can come. And the bruised reed he will not break, and the smoldering wick he will not snuff out. The brokenhearted ones are the ones he wants to serve. And you come and you bring all your sins. We confess them, not just the ones we know, but all that we don't know. Plead guilty to all sin. Who would do that if you did not know the God of boundless mercy and ever-present grace? Because you know. The pastor is called to tell you again in the name of the Lord Jesus that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if you wonder if that means murder too, whatever form that takes. Yeah. Yeah, there was one hanging on the cross next to Jesus. No accident. Today you will be with me in paradise. You know it, you love it, you live it, and you want to go out and tell it, because when Jesus gave his marching orders to his church, Matthew 28, right? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Literally in verses 19 and 20, therefore, or as you're going, disciple all the ethnic groups. Pontitai ethne, that's what it means, all the ethnic groups. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to literally guard and treasure all things as many as I have commanded you. Not just what you pick and choose and what feels good, but what takes you out of your comfort zone. Yeah. All things as many as I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you all the days to the gathered goal of the age. When everything finally stops swirling around and it feels like sometimes we're going down a drain. Not a bad way to look at it, because at the bottom of that drain is Christ on judgment day. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. So since the Lord Jesus said this to most unlikely ministers for public or private conversations, do not say, I wish Pastor was here. No. God put you there. Pastors open up sometimes like a fire hose. Just part of the way God trains us. And somebody who's been lost in the desert and is dying of thirst does not need a whole bunch of water all at once. They typically need drops of water, right? They need to be restored. And you may feel feeble and fumbling and faltering when you finally open your mouth and the Lord says, open your mouth and I will fill it. If it's just drops of water, understand, that's what that soul needs. You're there. That time. Your time. Most unlikely ministers. Most unlikely Savior. The great I am sends you and me. Thank you, Lord. Amen.